Welcome back to The Off-Peak, a video series from Charged Fleet covering electrified fleets. I'm editor and Off-Peak host, Martin Romju. Our guest in this episode is Kristen Slanina, the Chief Innovation Officer of Park My Fleet, a company that manages fleets on fenced and secured lots. Slanina brings decades of experience in the areas of mobility, powertrain engineering, electric vehicles, and advanced technologies. One ongoing effort among consigners, dealers, and auctions is coming up with reliable and consistent standards for evaluating electric vehicles. Most recently, Slanina gained firsthand experience on EV performance during the Charge Across America Race 21. She now shares some of her insights in this episode. All right, Kristen Slanina, Chief Innovation Officer for ParkMyFleet.com. Thank you very much for joining us on Charge Fleet, the Off-Peak. Welcome.
Thank you, Martin. Thanks.
So I wanted to start off, obviously, in the fleet world, and wanted to get your take on what some of the advantages are that fleets have when it comes to embracing electric vehicles compared to the consumer market.
Yeah, you know, actually, fleets just have a huge advantage. And for me personally, I think that needs to be our first priority as a nation and even as a society, a world society, because it's so much easier to manage the infrastructure and the changes that need to happen to manage the fleets. So you can have fleet hubs with the right infrastructure. And that, and they're very targeted, as opposed to what we're doing right now is trying to, in a sense, almost replace every gas station with a charge station and really, you know, trying to handle those implications, but also the longer charge times. So I think fleets have a great advantage on that infrastructure side because they can centrally manage it and right fit it to their business and their needs, knowing exactly the energy usage that they have. And there are so many great systems out there in terms of predictive analytics and digital twin that can really help a fleet company optimize it along with the charging and as they start transitioning over to electric vehicles.
Now, what barriers do you see the need for fleets to overcome as they transition to EVs and as they explore all the different options out there?
Yes, Martin. So what I'm seeing is that there's a lot of companies that really don't understand what this means. So many of them are setting up and hiring people with expertise in this area to really focus on all those implications, how they would convert, kind of like what model would they have, what charging would they use, what vehicles do they purchase? You know, there's just a lot of tails to that question. And so what I've seen is that they are trying to get that in-house expertise to start that roadmap into making that transition and those steps. So at Park My Fleet, what I want to do is make it as easy as possible for them. You know, I've had a 30-year career in automotive, and how can I optimize this ecosystem so that I can provide on-site power generation and storage of that power so you don't have the issues of getting grid accessibility to like the hub sites? That could take years and potentially, you know, we don't even know how long, and can the grid even handle it? So that's why I want to have my own on-site power generation. I want to have that storage, a distributed architecture so that I can tailor the needs of the vehicles very specifically. So if one needs a very fast charge at, let's say, 450 kilowatt charge, they can get that. If another's having a longer dwell time and can have a slower charge, they'll get the slower charge so that I can optimize my energy across the entire fleet. And so the software, as I mentioned, could be very critical for helping them transition, understand, you know, how do you drive differently? When and how long do you charge? When do you stop charging for battery longevity? And, you know, there's a law of diminishing returns for the charging. So what is that point? As well as end of life, second use cases, and battery recycling. You know, so I want to take care of the end-to-end ecosystem so that really the only choice that they need to make is which vehicle they want. EV, hydrogen fuel cell, or any of the other, you know, what I'll call transition things, which could be, you know, natural gas, biofuels, biodiesel, ethanol.
Now, you were part of a big event this past winter, Charge Across America, and I know you got a lot of insights from that. Tell us just really briefly what that was and what in particular about that event could apply to fleets as they weigh the transition to EVs.
Yeah, Martin. So that was really an amazing experience as well as super fun. Ironically, it was on my 30th anniversary of when I was co-captain and driver of the MIT solar car team. So I was like, how could I not do this on that 30th anniversary? Mm-hmm. So in about 6 months, we orchestrated an entire 10-day journey. It started October 31st in Brooklyn, New York at Revel's facility. And we had it as a rally with a stop in Detroit at the American Center for Mobility that second day. And of course, we had the stops along the way with other events. And then our next big event was the second to last day at the Vegas Speedway. And watching, as I said, the other teams on the non-Tesla infrastructure, there was tremendous differences from what I was experiencing on the Tesla infrastructure. So I actually had not a single problem with my car. Every charger I went to worked just perfectly. And that really wasn't the case. So what I am seeing is that we really, as a society, have to make different choices in order to get mass adoption of this for the general public, which is why it actually solidified even more in my head why the fleet opportunity is really ideal, right? You have control over it, the reliability of it, and it's the system. You know, think about the challenges. Here you now have, like on with Tesla systems, it's the car, the Tesla vehicle made in conjunction with the Tesla charging. The other ones, there's all these different charging companies, and every OEM has different software and protocol. You know, we are trying to get standardization, and that is coming, but there's still lots of different nuances with regards to the technologies. And so what I saw was what I call system issues as they were traveling across, and connectors and such that were either broken. The charging was not what they were rated. I had one team go to 10 chargers in a day to find one that was at the rating that it was supposed to be at. So they experienced a lot of frustration. Though in spite of that, Martin, they actually, by day five, they started to love their vehicle. And even the teams that had not ever driven it really was getting, they got the hang of it. You know, they got it. So that was really good to see.
So for fleets, should they draw the lesson that if they have a local region that they serve and they have duty cycles, should they pick a charging infrastructure or just pick those specific chargers that are more likely to be similar or homogeneous?
Something that they should look into is the chargers that best meet their needs, and like the what is the charging capacities of the vehicles that they have chosen, and are there dwell times? There's several questions that they have to go through and really ask themselves. So that's something that's not, unfortunately, like an easy answer. It does take a little bit of thoughtfulness, which is another reason why, you know, it would be, I want to accelerate this for the country because it really is good. How do we get low carbon index scoring and really help this acceleration towards a net carbon zero future? And so by making it as easy as possible, you know, like if any fleet company wanted to talk to me and shared with me some of the details of that, like the vehicles that they chose, then I look at the technology. And if I understand the dwell times that they're going to have and their use case, I can match up with the right charging and what that looks like.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to switch gears a little bit. Obviously, after the fleets get through their first wave of vehicles, they will have to turn them over. And the entire used market within EVs is kind of an untested area. So I know you're planning a keynote speech at the International Automotive Remarketers Alliance in August in Nashville, and you'll be speaking to an audience of consigners, auctions, and dealers. What are some of the, what's a preview of some of the insights you'll be sharing with them?
Absolutely. Well, I can't give away all of it, Martin, but mm-hmm. What I'd like to do is give a little bit of a grounding, a foundational grounding about what I call kind of EV 101. There's a lot of different terminology and there are differences. You know, I actually grew up in engine engineering at Ford and, you know, I was a cylinder head component engineer. So I worked at several engine plants. I had to take apart and put back together engines. And so I get the whole thing with engines. So this transition is interesting. So what considerations do they specifically need to know? How can they make better choices on, let's say, you know, battery longevity is something that we're all learning to understand. And how can they make better choices on the vehicle and understanding the price point based off of what I call where the quality of that battery that remains, right? It's different than normally with engines, we talk about mileage, right? Everyone knows if you're buying a used car with 100,000 miles, we all have an idea what that means. But if an electric vehicle went 100,000 miles, what does that really mean for the battery and how long that battery is still going to be good? So those are kind of those nuances that we're going to be talking about as well, so that it can help the fleets and the aftermarkets make much better decisions and help sell those vehicles. You know, other things to consider is, you know, normally you put in a few gallons of gas in the vehicle. Mm-hmm. Well, how much charge do you want? And do they know that what the sweet spot of charging, basically you want to keep like around a 30 to 80%. After 80%, when you start to charge, it's that law of diminishing returns I mentioned. Your charge speed might go from 150 kilowatts down to like 30. So is it worth sitting there? And what are those implications to the longevity of the battery? And so, as I mentioned, there's really some amazing software packages that are really honing in on those questions. So I think that there'll be a lot of exciting things to share and talk about just with new considerations on this ecosystem, but it doesn't have to be hard and challenging. Like, I don't want to scare people. It's just thinking of it differently.
Mm-hmm. What do you see as the potential for a used market, both wholesale and retail for EVs? Is this going to have the same level of confidence that we see in the used market for internal combustion engine vehicles? What's kind of the forecast for that?
Yeah, so I kind of wish I had a crystal ball. You know, it's hard to predict people's behaviors and perceptions, but I know we are going to get there. I don't necessarily know how long it would take. There's clearly people who are not comfortable with change. And then there's those who embrace change and want the newness. And also, there's a lot more people now that are really passionate about creating a sustainable world. And so they might force themselves to overcome and do change. So I do think that the aftermarket and used cars for electric are going to absolutely get there. I know that having this information and having the manufacturers of these cars characterize like what I call that battery quality is going to be an important part of that. So that if I'm buying an electric car used, I can have an estimate about how many more miles that battery is good for, knowing certain things about charging it right and taking care of the vehicle itself. So I'm an optimist by heart. So I do think we are going to get there. I just am not sure how long it will take. But with the chip shortages and such, and the way that things have been happening with gas prices, you know, things change so rapidly that it could accelerate a lot faster. So
as we look to the future, I mean, we hear a lot about solar and wind providing that renewable energy for EVs, but there's also the concept you're familiar with as to how solar can integrate with EVs and supplement the energy. And I know you've got some experience in that area. So what is the potential for direct solar powering of EVs?
Yeah. So, you know, there are companies out there that are basically saying that they'll have 1,000-mile range and 40 miles per day off of just pure solar. It's pretty incredible when you think about that. And when you look at the data of the average person is driving 40 miles a day. So that's pretty compelling. In most use cases, it could be on 100% solar. And solar has improved, the efficiencies have improved so much in the last 30 years from when I was on that solar car team. And of course, it's all about the aerodynamics of the car. And so you have less drag and you can go further on the same kind of energy. The car that we actually designed looks very much like it was a three-wheeled, two-passenger car. It looks very much like what I'm seeing now on the web for some of these companies. And it's it's kind of flattering, actually. It's like I felt like we were pioneers in that space. It's interesting that it's still like an excellent design, and it's an idea that has staying power. So I've also been reading up on my solar, and I think that we're coming into cool new opportunities where there's clear solar for, you know, could be used for windows and you know, skylights, things like that, as well as basically solar panels, bendable, that you can have the actual vehicle, the entire body of the vehicle, you know, be solar as well. So I think that technology is also going to continue to be innovative to accelerate opportunities in that space for solar. And that for the majority of the use case, the solar meet our daily needs for driving. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting.
Well, that certainly would be a dream come true for fleets where they don't have to pay as much for electric if they can get it for free with solar.
Right. And that's an interesting thing about, you know, the on-site microgrids and on-site sustainable power generation is that whole potential with energy arbitrage. And so really understanding the energy needs of your fleet in your location can help with that game. Mm-hmm. So right, it could be free energy, right? If you play your energy arbitrage right and have that opportunity. Not all places are as amenable, so, but it's a consideration and an opportunity.
A special thank you to electric vehicle expert Kristen Slanina for her straight talk on getting to an EV future. Please tell us in the comments below about any of your experiences with new or used EVs and the challenges of charging. Remember to follow and connect with us on social media, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and sign up for our weekly Charged Fleet e-newsletter to stay up to date on the latest electric vehicle industry news. I'm Martin Ramji with Charged Fleet. Thank you for joining us, and we hope to see you again here soon on another pulsating video of the Off-Peak.